This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The La Villita Historic Arts Village is getting a multi-million dollar redevelopment plan that the city hopes will revitalize that quiet corner of downtown. La Villita is well known as the location of the popular fiesta event, A Night in Old San Antonio. But year-round, you can find La Villita artisan cottages, and there are also some annual weekend events there, like the Day of the Dead Festival, the Coffee Festival, and others. The redevelopment plan, approved by the San Antonio City Council, will pump new money and vision into La Villita, but will the historic vision for the little village be lost? How can the La Villita experience be improved for both locals and tourists? What are the pros and cons of redevelopment in this valued historic district? We invite you to call in, talk about your La Villita experiences and expectations. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. Our guests this afternoon, we're joined by John Jacks, director of the City of San Antonio Center City Development and Operations Department. Also with us is Susan Bevan, director of the San Antonio, president of the San Antonio Conservation Society, and Deborah Sibley, president of the La Villita Tenants Association, a nonprofit organization composed of the small business owners and area constituents. And you're welcome to call in 210-614-8980. So, John Jacks, tell us about the plan that the San Antonio City Council unanimously approved.
Sure. So in February of 2016, we issued a request for interest to solicit a developer and operator for a culinary concept within three buildings in Maverick Plaza, and also a programming as well for that area. We received two proposals. The evaluation committee recommended Chef Johnny Hernandez, who I think a lot of San Antonians know very well, to partner with to create this culinary concept. The thought is that by bringing in a local chef to help us with really kind of revitalizing that plaza, although we have a lot of events in that plaza throughout the year, there's a lot of downtime as well. So we're really trying to activate it on a daily basis, and we think bringing in this culinary concept will help achieve that. For the funding, the city will provide $4.4 million in public improvements to Maverick Plaza, which includes infrastructure, new infrastructure, constructing kiosks and outdoor demonstration kitchens, removing some non-historic restrooms and a concession building, and then improving the area around it. There's a bond project as well for Alamo Street that will be part of this. And then Johnny Hernandez and his team will provide additional funding, about $7 million in their piece to construct the restaurants. And then we'll have continuing funding from the leases from Johnny's team, as well as some public dollars as well to fund the programming of that area for the next 7 years. So really the focus is to provide programming and activities that will not only kind of complement what's going on downtown from a visitor's perspective, but also to bring locals down to La Villita for things other than just Neosa or some of the events that we currently have.
Well, paint me a picture if you can. Describe what we're going to have when this is all said and done.
Sure. So there'll be three new restaurants in the Maverick Plaza. Chef Johnny Hernandez will have a Mexican restaurant. Chef Elizabeth Johnson will have a restaurant that kind of reinterprets the Spanish heritage of the area. And then Chef Steve McHugh will have a German-style beer garden in that area. Plus, there'll be activities, kiosks, demonstration kitchens for the actual plaza itself. So it's not just activity inside the restaurants, but also activity out in the plaza, too.
And Deborah Sibley, president of the La Villita Tenants Association, talk about how the tenants feel about this.
Well, we're very supportive of the opportunity to have a more vibrant La Villita. And we really believe that while visitors comprise the majority of the people who come down to La Villita, we think that these restaurants and the activation and the programming within the plazas will bring more locals to La Villita, who generally only see La Villita under its facelift of Fiesta and Night in Old San Antonio. So when we do have events that bring locals into La Villita, they get to see firsthand the artisans that are working there, the great shops and retail merchants that have unique goods you don't find in big box stores. And also, the tenants are there to preserve the art and the culture of La Villita, as well as the commerce. So seeing the Grupo La Gloria come in with a concept that addresses a lot of our native heritage and addresses the opportunity to bring more people into La Villita is something we're really excited about. We do understand that there's going to be a disruption to our business. It's sort of like when you remodel your home. You have a great vision. You know how to plan, prepare. You're not inviting guests during that time. And so we know that for our businesses, it'll be very similar. The outcome is what we are hoping to achieve. And during the process, perhaps directing visitors to us from the Riverwalk level will bring more traffic in during the process. So instead of bringing them in through the construction area, bringing them up through the Riverwalk to introduce them to the village, we think is really important. Hope to partner with the city in and also the Conservation Society in ways that we can promote the history of the area as well.
Susan Bevan at the San Antonio Conservation Society. La Villita is where you have your major fundraiser, Night in Old San Antonio. Those funds are used to pay for conservation in San Antonio and maintain all sorts of places like La Villita. Is this going to disrupt NIOSA?
Not this year, but we're looking at the possibility of the footprint being greatly reduced, and so we'll be working with the city on that. So, yes, it is a concern. And also, and you have to remember that it's not just the 4 days of NIOSA, but it is also the time setting up and the time taking down. So almost 3 weeks right there. And the 2 years of construction, and that's assuming that you're not going to hit a snag with any archaeology because of the location, then we'll have to wait and see. We really don't have all the details yet on the footprint of Johnny Hernandez restaurant. And so that's going to be very important. That's a conceptual approval. And so we just, all we know is the estimated number of seats inside and outside. But there are a lot of concerns on whether they would be closed at the time we have NIOSA or not, and whether there would be a competition between food and beverages as well.
So NIOSA aside, the Conservation Society is dedicated to preserving San Antonio's historic legacy and architecture.
And culture.
So how does this fit into that?
With the addition, well, I think as
I mean, is this going to, are we going to lose anything? Are you concerned about that?
No, I think the amount of money and what we're able to do with the money is we give $200,000 annually as well. Well, $500,000, but $200,000 goes directly to the maintenance of La Villita. It's around $500,000 annually that we give to the city. That's also to the police and for other permits and things as well. So the disruption really has to do with the amount of funding and the use of the space.
Okay. So we're going to continue our conversation. Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the future of La Villita, one of the oldest parts of San Antonio. What's going to be done to maintain the fact that this is a historic area? We need to maintain the history and culture of our city as we move forward and try to modernize. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about La Villita. Big changes are being planned for that cozy corner of downtown San Antonio. A lot of artists and shops there, a few restaurants, but it's going to be getting a makeover, multi-million dollar makeover. What do you want to see happen there? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. And with us now is Johnny Hernandez. He's a chef and restaurateur. He might be familiar with La Gloria restaurant, which is at the Pearl. And Johnny, welcome to The Source.
Hey, no, it's great to be on The Source.
Thank you. Your ears must be burning because we've been talking about you and your plans for La Villita.
Well, I mean, I think that's an accurate statement, but I mean, I think these are the plans of a lot of very important folks that we're trying to make sure that are part of that conversation. But yes, we're excited about La Villita. It's going to be something that I think is has been on the mind of a lot of folks that are downtown, especially our friends that were in the relationships we have now with the Conservation Society and the Association, and everybody that touches La Vida, you know, is we want to make sure that we are visiting with and talking to make sure that we understand, you know, current needs and aspirations for the future.
Do you know where the restaurant is going to go in La Vida? The footprint, how big of a restaurant are we talking about?
Yes, I mean, I think that what we've set out to do is try to activate Maverick Plaza. You know, Maverick Plaza is kind of that cornered spot. It's the one with the visibility off of Alamote. And our goal has been to develop three restaurants on that site and an outdoor kitchen. The restaurants will be different sizes, different styles of food. With everything, you know, Mexican restaurant is, I'm doing one is Mexican, and there's a German restaurant, there's a Native American, Spanish influence restaurant. But, I mean, our goal is to bring life to that plaza. I mean, we want to see activation there, and we want to see it thrive, and we want to bring visitors and locals to La Vida and to Maverick Plaza. So, I mean, that's kind of the driving goal and the vision is to create something special. You know, I think we have some great talent in Elizabeth Johnson and Chef Steve and then myself. And then the outdoor kitchen is kind of a teaching kitchen and an outdoor space that we want to activate. But I think everything that we do there, we want teaching to be kind of at the core of. I mean, we want to be educating people on San Antonio and the cultural history of San Antonio, and not only through food, but through activation and through other things and other cultural events and things that we feel as a group, as an association that we're going to be involved with. You know, we want to make sure those special things are being captured and happening there on the plaza and through the other two great plazas that are within La Vida. We want to contribute to all of La Vida. Our first focus is really creating three dynamic restaurants on Maverick Plaza, which is really one of the important front doors to La Vida.
So San Antonio has been designated a United Nations gastronomic city of, I guess, what do you call it, a gastronomic city of interest or that place to go eat cool stuff?
We were nominated. You know, we'd worked the last couple of years as a culinary community with a lot of food historians and food anthropologists and educators and institutions throughout San Antonio to submit San Antonio as a city to gastronomy. And I was the chair of the organization, of the board we put together, but Elizabeth was on that committee, so was Chef Steve, and a lot of other people really helped, the Witte Museum at the city of San Antonio and such. But we are now a city of gastronomy. It was an honor to get the designation, so now we're known internationally as a city for its food and culture. And we were selected from seven other cities in the U.S. who submitted applications. And every year, UNESCO designates, every 2 years, they will pick one city that it gets the designation to be part of a larger international network. So it's quite a special designation. And La Vida is, you know, we want that to be kind of an extension of that designation. So everything we do there, we want it to be, carefully woven into really our city's food heritage.
And talk about how that might be important in regards to culinary tourism.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think culinary tourism is a huge word right now. You know, it's a huge, I think, focus for a lot of a lot of cities building tourism who are destinations. I mean, we are a wonderful destination, and food is a big part of our destination. So we want to make sure that what we're creating there at La Vida and our contribution, you know, provides, you know, support for the bigger mission of what the Conservation Society has been doing for many years. And food is a very, you know, it's trendy and it's very powerful. And I think that we will do a great job bringing locals, but I think visitors, I think, are going to come and experience La Vida for its cuisine as well. And, you know, for me, in our restaurants, I mean, we're about developing experiences, right? So it's food, it's service, it's ambiance. It's, you know, people want a dining experience. And we know that, you know, that the Chef Elizabeth, Chef Steve, and myself, we're very focused on that. And the designation is we qualify because we have a cultural city and a cultural cuisine. I mean, we have the only UNESCO site in Texas, you know, our World Heritage Mission. So, you know, and we're on our beautiful San Antonio River. So, I mean, it's just another part of the story that is unique about San Antonio. And that's what, you know, and that's what makes us different from any other city in America.
So before I let you go, can you sort of lay out a little bit more detail about the indigenous food aspect that's going to be offered?
Right. So, you know,
like what's on the menu?
Mexican food. You know, we have creative sessions that we have had as chefs. But on the menu, I mean, obviously we're known for Mexican food, and that's one of the obvious ones. But we also want to share some of the San Antonio and some of the Texas history through our cuisine. You know, I mean, you know, there's always, I think, you know, because I've been so involved in tourism over the years, you know, people always ask about the Chili Queens and chili and how plays into that San Antonio story. But I mean, Mexican food, obviously, as we know it, will be in La Vita, but I also want to do some pre-Hispanic influences into the cuisine. But the German restaurant, obviously, beer making has its history here in San Antonio. So we want to be making beer in a brewery. We want to have a small brewery there in La Vita with German food. The contributions of the German community on our cuisine is very evident, you know, through some of our comfort food, our schnitzels, which are chicken fried steaks, which are sausages and grilling meats. So you'll see a lot of that stuff come to life on the German menu. And then Native American and Spanish are two signature cuisines and two signature influences that Elizabeth Johnson has been working to incorporate into her concept. But the Spanish influences, you know, sometimes get lost. And the Native American influence sometimes get lost. And Elizabeth Johnson was an instructor at the Culinary Institute of America. And so a lot of her, you know, a lot of her education and her background is really is well grounded in food history. And I mean, I think we have, you know, I think we have something very special that we want to bring to life.
All right, John Hernandez, he's a chef and restaurateur. He's the owner of La Gloria Restaurant at the Pearl and other eateries around San Antonio and also around the world. Johnny, thanks for calling in. We appreciate the update.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Let's go to another caller. The number is 210-614-8980 as we talk about the future of La Villita. What are your La Villita experiences and what would you like to see there? And this is Claudia. And Claudia, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. This all sounds wonderful. However, what are we going to do about parking down there? That's the reason why locals are not coming down there now.
All right, Claudia, great question, and I think that's probably one that's on a lot of people's minds. So La Villita doesn't have a lot of built-in parking around it. So John Jacks, is there a solution in the development?
Sure, and there's probably several different ways to address this. One of them is to obviously add more parking, and that is one of the things that we're looking at, not just for this area, but for all of downtown, to very comprehensively study downtown and determine not only how much more parking do we need, but be strategic about locating that parking. So with that, there is some additional parking that is proposed in the new H-Park redevelopment. We're oversizing garages in that area with our partnership with the developers there. So there would be some much needed or added parking in that close vicinity. But it's also educating individuals about the parking system overall downtown and that there are other options to just you know, driving a car downtown to park. There's the Via Bus system. B-Cycle has a robust program. And then Uber and Lyft being here has helped with that. And of course, the taxi companies, too. So it's really this year going forward, really marketing our parking system and really educating people about parking downtown. I think there's a perception out there that parking is either there's a lack of it or it's difficult. And that's probably true to some degree, but I also think that a lot of it is just a perception, and it's really our job at the city to educate people and about what's available and that there's other options as well.
And Susan Bevan with the San Antonio Conservation Society, you own property at La Villita?
Yes, we do. We are also a tenant as well.
Yeah, and so What do you, as a property owner, how does this factor into what the Conservation Society does?
Well, we own the Fig Tree and the Little Run Steakhouse and the DeShiel House. We are excited, I think, as far as being a tenant, because we also lease Building 20, which is the Crafter Store. We just started that full-time. And we're excited about having the thought of having people coming down all the time. I know that there, as John Jacks had mentioned, there are some downtimes, and we have had volunteers in the Crafter Store where some Sundays it seems like nothing is going on. And so we do welcome the experience of people coming down to visit on a regular basis. So I don't think it really affects the restaurants that lease the Fig Tree and the Little Run Steakhouse. I'm sure, you know, more business would be great, but I think they do well. But I think as far as a tenant with a Crafter Store, that's important for us to be able to have. We're situated at the back of La Villita. So when Deborah was talking about having people coming up from the river and more right. signage, I think that would be great. So we do welcome that.
So John Jacks, with the city's Center Development and Operations Department, frequently I hear these plans and then there's slippage. And we start off talking about all these great ideas, this is going to be, and the next thing you know, after we got to make the rent, so it's no longer high-dollar cuisine, it becomes ballpark nachos and T-shirt stands. How are you going to keep that from happening?
Well, I think that's really kind of where this programming comes into place, because you know, oftentimes when a new establishment opens, there's a lot of hype surrounding that, and you get a lot of people coming, and then that tends to kind of wear off. And I think that's why we're not just putting three new restaurants in La Villita in the Maverick Plaza. We also have a programming component to that. And so that's to give people a reason other than just coming to have dinner or lunch to the La Villita. It's also to experience something. So it's not just eating. It's eating and enjoying programming, and that programming could be very minimal. It may just be a lunchtime programming, so maybe the focus is more to bring people that work in the area to come to La Villita for lunch, or bigger events, maybe to attract visitors from outside of downtown, local residents, for example, to come to La Villita to experience something that is kind of food-centric, but also gives them opportunities to do other things. So I think that it's a more sustainable model. And so I think that will help kind of establish these restaurants and tenants too, so we have a longer term for all of them.
All right, so we're going to continue the conversation as we hit another break here. Have you been to events at La Villita? What do you like about that area? What do you think needs to change? We want to hear about your La Villita experience. When was the last time you visited the area? A lot of things have changed since then, probably. What are your favorite memories, and what kind of events do you like to see brought to San Antonio could be hosted at La Villita? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Do you think you're hearing a lot of promises and a lot of hype, a lot of great expectations, and then what happens and we start hitting the reality of trying to operate these in venues? Sometimes things change. How do we make sure that this continues to be a great reflection of San Antonio, our culture, and history? 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When was the last time you've been to La Villita? Well, that's too long, as they used to say about eating canned chili. But now, you know, La Villita is happening. It's a cool place, and they're making a lot of changes to it. What's going to happen? We're going to lose any elements of the La Villita that we know and love in order to modernize it. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, and Donna is on the line. Hi, Donna. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, just to further the conversation, a couple of weekends ago, they had the coffee expo, and my husband and I drove down, and we were going to, you know, visit, and one of the issues that you brought up was parking in the area. There was parking, but it was expensive. It was like $10 and $12, and then when we saw the line waiting to get into La Villita just to have a cup of coffee, it just seemed like it was, you know, by the time we all was said and done, just to go in and maybe enjoy a cup of coffee, it was going to be over $15 a person. And it's like, that doesn't seem, you know, reasonable. And then it seemed like it was very disjointed and unorganized on how to get people into the actual expo, you know, to get a ticket and all of that. So we just turned around and drove away.
I hear you. That same thing happened to me. This seems like the Coffee Fest is a victim of its own success. So many people go there that no one wants to go there anymore, as has said before. So talk about that experience, Deborah, about you're the president of the La Vieta Tenants Association, and so people say, I wanted to go, but couldn't find parking.
Well, in terms of the Coffee Festival, that is organized by an outside group in partnership with the city, and it has been, I guess, too much of a good thing. You know, they weren't prepared for the number of people that did attend. I don't think that parking was so much of an issue, because a lot of people we talked to actually took the bus. The Viva route that Via has is something that the tenants participate in. We actually give a discount to Viva riders. You just show your passport. So there were a lot of people that attended that perhaps didn't have the best experience because they had to wait in very long lines.
And if you want to park in those parking lots that they have right by La Vieta, that's going to cost you.
It is going to cost you. But, you know, relative to other cities, if you travel, you will spend $25 and $30 a day for parking. So when in San Antonio you're paying $10 or $12, really you have to look at it in a broader perspective of it's not that much to pay for an entire day of parking.
But you can park elsewhere and just walk down the Riverwalk to get to La Vieta.
Absolutely. You could even park at the Pearl and take the Viva bus for round trip $2.75. So, I mean, there are lots of options for you out there. You just have to spend a little time exploring it. But there are a lot of events that don't have quite the size of footprint that one does and the number of people that attend.
Yeah, but the thing is, this type of psychology is like, well, if you would take some time and figure out how to get down here, you'd love it. And, you know, we're putting the onus on them. And so if you're trying to get more traffic and we've got to come up with a turnkey solution that people are easily to pick up and run with.
Oh, I agree completely. And since we're not the organizers of that event, I can't really speak to
it. Sure, but it's just in general. That was just an example.
Yeah, right.
All right, here we get to another caller. This is Kristen. And Kristen, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to talk to you guys because my family and I went down to La Vieta for the Diwali Festival not too long ago, and it was just an amazing event. We actually did not find parking to be so terrible, and it was packed down there. And I'm just wondering, these new plans, how is that going to affect these cultural events that La Vieta is known for?
All right. And that is a great event, Festival of Lights. John Jacks, how would these things be impacted?
Sure. I think some of our what I would call signature events, such as the Diwali Festival, is a perfect example of that. Those will continue to be held in the plaza. And those are very successful, well-attended events that really kind of speak to our culture. And so we want to keep those. And there may be a slight kind of impact on that while it's under construction. But I think long-term, the plan is definitely to keep events like that at La Vieta. Obviously, it's been a success. And then we're looking at ways that, you know, how can we make that even better? And then how can we make that experience better? So identify how to get there. So the whole experience is good, not just when you arrive. But we'll definitely keep events like that.
But according to my reading, you're going to be tearing up the streets and redoing the pathways and the paving stones. Is that it? Is that true?
Yes. So there's actual several infrastructure improvements that'll be done to the area. So it's not just La Vieta, but in 2017 there was the bond proposal that was passed. That includes reconstructing Alamo Street, and so Alamo Street will be redone. Nueva Street will be redone. We're redoing a lot of the paving stones within La Vieta. A lot of those are need to be replaced or need to be fixed. So there definitely will be some impact on events and the area during construction, but it's really up to us to determine how to make that the least impact possible. How do we mitigate that? Working with the Conservation Society, working with the La Vieta Tenants Association. So we're all, it's a team effort. It's a partnership. So that's why they're at the table and we're having that conversation with them. So they're part of the process.
Let's go to the Bill. And Bill, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing great, sir. Go ahead. You're on the air.
A follow-up question to a show you guys had last week concerning local music. I am a local San Antonio musician, and it's a tough business these days. I retired from the Navy as a musician, came here to San Antonio, and in the 12 years I've been here, I've noticed that just the players' economy here is a lot rougher than it is in a lot of other places in the country. And having that venue, having some kind of cooperation between the city and the music commission you guys were talking about, getting bands a place to play. You know, we've got great jazz bands in town that play at local venues for free, just so we'll have a place to sit down and play. And we do it because we like it. I have another job. I don't have a choice in that because the economics are really tough for musicians here. So anything that would open up playing opportunities that might even have a little pay behind them would be great for a lot of people here in town.
Okay. All right, Bill. Appreciate that. So are there more venues? Are we going to lose the Maverick because it's the Maverick Music Festival? We talked about how that's gotten so big. But having these opportunities for people to come down and play and attract an audience and build a core fan base, that's important for a community. And so how is this going to impact that, Bill? John?
Sure. Well, obviously, during the construction, there may be some things that have to be moved around. We talked about earlier the music festival. If it's starting to outgrow that space, we have a great opportunity with the H Park redevelopment, which is just across the street, to add a little bit bigger venue on that side, but also with the reconstruction of Alamo Street, making a better connection between La Vita and H Park as well. But I think overall, the programming opportunities do open up opportunities for music, not just at this location, but really all of downtown. We're looking at how can we bring in musicians. We have our arts and culture department that they're thinking about that, ideas about how to make that happen. It doesn't have to be a big band. Sometimes it'll be something very small and more intimate. So those are all the types of programming opportunities that we're looking at.
It's really difficult to cross from Flavita into Hemisphere Park.
Right.
You know, that's not pedestrian friendly at all.
It's a very wide street, right?
Yeah, and there's nothing there to help pedestrians make that safely. And hopefully that's going to be changing in the redevelopment. And you wanted to add something, Deborah?
I did. Actually, music events are something that the tenants have been very vocal about. Small, intimate events that could be hosted in the other plazas beyond Maverick Plaza are really important to us because that circulates our visitors throughout the entire village, not concentrated just in Maverick Plaza.
So it's Juarez Plaza as
well. Juarez is there, a Plaza Nacional, and of course our beautiful Arneson River Theater. Those are all venues within La Vita that serve the public as well as private events hosted in those too. But the other thing is the large, very loud events produce a concussion that's very difficult and harmful on historic buildings, and it's something that we're very familiar with because we're on site during many of these events. So we applaud small jazz groups or any of the other type of music events that might cater to a smaller but still a diverse population within San Antonio, and perhaps by moving some of the larger events such as Maverick across the street, it'll be beneficial to everyone and the landscape as well as the historic structures.
Got a question online from Kathy. Is all this construction going to be going on during our tricentennial? When does it start, John?
No, the construction will actually take place after tricentennial. Right now for this next year, we're just in the design phase and not
but
just
you're
design,
getting community but, input as well?
Right. So not just community input from the Conservation Society and the tenants, which obviously are very important. But we want to offer it up to anybody, really, to be part of this process. So we're hearing from everybody because we have locals who occasionally go down to La Vita, so we want really everyone's participation. Everyone's welcome to participate that for that. So really, for this year, there will be no construction in the plaza. So construction will be scheduled to start in January of 2019 after tricentennial.
But so we're not really been had a chance to focus on the history of La Villita and why there is a La Villita there, even to be talking about. And I would know Mari Maverick Sr., former mayor of San Antonio, was had a vision. He wanted it saved. At the time, it was called the worst slum ever. And he had a vision to create a international plaza area celebrating San Antonio's multicultural roots. And has fought to maintain that. And I want to make sure, or at least ask, if that's still going to be part of the vision going into the future. Also, what's going to happen to the little church of La Villita? We want to make sure that maintains as well. If you've got questions or comments, we're going to ask those questions, 210-614-8980. Stay tuned. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about La Villita and a plan to change it. It's a plan that's been voted by the San Antonio City Council, already approved, but still we're talking about how do we make sure this is going to reflect San Antonio's culture and history. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, and Andrew is on the line. Andrew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Doing good, sir. Go right ahead.
I just was been listening the whole time, and I'm falling a little bit in the area of historical side, being more historical. And see, hearing the people that have their businesses there already, it's seeming to stress some important comments that they said. One of them, which was so critical, was the parking, the $10 or $15 parking for, and I know somebody said it's cheaper than what other cities charge, but our city is different. Our city is different completely in all the cities in Texas. Our city is so historic that we should be more open to where we have a top gap of parking, maybe of $3 a car for, and have open parking on all city streets free. So this way we could bring everything to our every area in the city. But we're so into this parking fee that it kind of disables a lot of people that would want to spend their money out there. The people that live here in San Antonio, they just kind of stay away from it. And of course the tourists, you know, they get taken in. There's no money left for the actual vendors. So if the city really wants to increase business in the lobby area and more foot traffic,
okay,
they should close the street between the dome and La Villita and make that free public parking so you can walk to the park and everything be a kind of open pavilion area.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that call. And there's a lot there. So, John Jacks, can you sort of address these issues? Will there be gaining parking spaces? I mean, there is a plan for some sort of parallel parking that's going to be going on with the redevelopment?
There is currently parking along Nueva Street. That will be continue to be available in the future. There's no plans to add parking actually in La Villita. That's not something that
right.
we would want to do, obviously. But as I mentioned earlier, there will be in the future opportunities for more public parking at H Park across the street. But
parking lots that are talking that are charging $15 a pop, those are privately owned.
Right. So obviously the city, we have our facilities.
There's the River Bend parking garage, which is not that far away off of Commerce Street. And that's something that is available, but you know, that's also you got to pay to get in there.
Right. And one of the things that we started a few years ago was a Downtown Tuesday program where city parking facilities are free on Tuesdays after 5 p.m. And it's more than just free parking. It's really about programming and working with all of our vendors downtown, restaurants, stores, to kind of advertise that as a evening for local residents, so you can avoid having to pay those parking costs, at least in city facilities.
Okay.
And so we talked about maybe we can expand that program to other times, or for maybe specific events if need be.
Here's another caller. This is Matthew. Matthew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, David. I just wanted to say I got married at the little church of La Villita 15 years ago, so that has very fond memories for me, obviously, of that special day. But I also want to say the thing that I'd like to see at La Vita is the International Accordion Festival come back again. In its heyday, you know, that was 3 days of just amazing, diverse, interesting music from all the way around the world, and workshops too. And it was a free event, and I'm not really sure why it ended, but to me, that's the best festival I've ever been to.
All right, Matthew, thanks for calling in. These festival organizers, they put a lot of effort into these things, and they try to eke out. They're basically, it's a gamble for them, you know, and sometimes they make it and sometimes they don't. So it's tough for them. But to the Little Church of La Vita, which was brought up, and that is a historic church. It's a non-denominational church, but they also do things like provide services like a food bank. Is that continuing to be the case? Susan Bevan, talk about the Little Church.
I'm assuming it is.
Yeah,
I don't know what else I can add to that.
Actually, yes, they do. They host a food program for the indigent who can come in daily. The little church is non-denominational, as you said. They're available for weddings, as that gentleman had mentioned. Actually, well, one of my daughters was married there. And what they do is they host the Starving Artist Show each April and raise money for their programming. So they're a very vital part of what goes on in La Vita. And they have a little retail shop as well where they sell art throughout the year. So they're definitely a very vital part and a very historical part of La Vita.
Okay, another caller. This is Amanda. Amanda, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. I was just calling because my son and I were able to experience the Tuba Festival this year, and we had a tremendous time. But yes, the CPS parking was about $10, and we're from the Edgewood area, so, you know, funding is a little bit, you know, scarce, I guess you could say, and I probably could have parked further and walked, but we were only there for maybe 30 minutes. But my question, too, that I would like to ask is consideration for handicap. My father a lot of times attends different, you know, band functions and stuff like that with us, and he wasn't able to go because he's handicapped.
Okay. So, Amanda, thank you for the call. So, ADA compatible, and that's going to be a requirement by law. And those cobblestones are kind of hard to navigate if you're having ambulatory issues. Is that going to be sort of ironed out?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely will make sure that everything complies with ADA requirements and really beyond. And that's you asked a question earlier about Alamo Street. Actually, Alamo Street under the bond proposal is going to be what we call a complete street, meaning it includes accessibility for all types of traffic, not just cars, but bikes. And certainly people, pedestrians, and those in wheelchairs as well. So it'll be much narrower, that intersection, so that to cross Alamo Street will be much easier after that bond project is completed.
And we have those bike share racks at La Vita.
Right, so there's a bicycle station there at La Vita. That's you know, I would encourage people to use that if possible. It's, you know, it's a nice bike ride, plus it's a little bit easier. You don't have to worry about parking. And really, that's what I talked about earlier is focusing on parking and helping people find parking too.
Okay, and so, but if people want to know, I got a question from Ressa on Twitter. Will the new La Vita be bicycle friendly? And so, other than what we're talking about here, you know, what more can we do to invite bikes, the street conversion and things like that?
Sure, absolutely. Again, Alamo Street, the complete streets will include bike lanes too. That's a big part of complete streets is providing that a safe, kind of friendly accessibility for all types of transportation options, you know, bus, cycling, pedestrians. And then including bike racks. If it's a popular destination for those that are cycling, then obviously bike racks is part of that plan too.
So I got a copy of the, this is published by Wings Press here in San Antonio, Old Vita and La Vita Continues, and this is a reprint of the Mari Maverick Sr. His plan for La Vita back in the day when they were when they made it, basically. And so there was a vision here, and Mari Maverick had a vision. So, Susan Bevan, can we talk about how we can make sure that we still don't lose that?
Let me read this first little part right here, just to come back on that.
Yeah.
This is from Mari Maverick's La Villita Ordinance in 1939 and said, recreating the little Spanish village for promotion of understanding and peace between American nations, to preserve Spanish and Southwestern culture, to foster arts and crafts. And I can't see that even with the changes that the city is going to make, I can't see that there will be any change to continuing the culture and the heritage. I think everybody, including the Tenants Association, is determined to make sure that that happens. We do that with NEOSA and our NEOSITAs to try to help promote the different cultures that have been there and have lived there. I think all of the shops, that was one of the intents by the city when they had the tenants renew their leases, so that they had tenants that were there full-time and that were able to offer the arts and crafts that were reflective of the cultures that have been there. So I can't see that that's going to change. I hope I'm answering your question, but I think that's the intent. I think everybody is on the same mission to have that happen.
So Deborah Sibley, talk about that.
Well, I think that...
So you sell a copy of this in your...
Oh, we do. That book is sold in Camel Corps in Building 25 in La Vita. And we love sharing the story of La Vita with customers each and every day. We have visitors that want to know all about the village and its history. And what we can tell you is since the 1500s, this village has been written about. The Spanish explorers came and told about the verdant green pastures and the wild deer and turkey and the nuts and fruit trees. So it's been a culinary destination since its earliest history. And so I think what we're doing is we're just revolutionizing what's being fed to people who come to La Vita with these new restaurant concepts. We're excited about it. We're excited that what we have in the village right now are artists and craftsmen who are creating unique, one-of-a-kind products. So it's all about shopping local. It's about shopping small. It's about reinvesting in your community with the dollars that you spend in La Vita. So we're there to preserve and to promote the art, the culture, and the commerce in the village. And we feel like we have great partners in the Conservation Society and in the City of San Antonio to make that happen. And history doesn't stay static. We're constantly re-energizing and re-evaluating
But we have to make
important.
Sure that we do not lose the roots of
Absolutely.
Why we have a La Villita,
Absolutely.
Something that other cities, they come to San Antonio, people and say, why don't we have this in our community? Well, maybe if you're the 300-year-old city founded by Spanish missionaries, maybe you would have something like this. This is what makes San Antonio, San Antonio. We got to make sure that we don't lose those important elements. I want to thank our guest. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning us in.